It is so good to be here with so many Malachis. We all have a new name now. We are all messengers of the Lord. I think after last night, seeing that the Lord is coming so soon, and to see that the time He has given us is not to see the world or travel around the whole world. The time now is to be used so that many would come to repentance. And for this, the Lord needs us as messengers. And this is so good to not be here just to hear the word and to take something for us. But the Lord wants to equip us. We don't know what is still to come, but we know that the Lord needs messengers, that the Lord wants to equip us so that we can help other people, so that they would be reconciled with God, and so that when the Lord comes, He wouldn't have to destroy everything or everyone. There will be judgment, but He wants to bring as many as possible to turn back to Him. That's why when we read this word and hear this word, it's not just about understanding what Malachi has said and what can I take away from this for myself. But as Isaiah says, may his ear be awakened to hear as learned and to hear as a messenger hears. If I know I have to share something to others, then I have to listen very carefully. A messenger listens differently. He doesn't just listen and think, okay, that was nice. He has to know exactly what he has to say. That's why we have to hear as a messenger, to hear as the learned, or hear as a disciple. Malachi 2, it says, behold, I send my messenger. And a messenger is not just someone who delivers mail, for example, or a mail carrier. But in a messenger is also a priest. In Malachi 2, he speaks to the priests. It says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and turned many away from iniquity. And then it says, he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. The Lord didn't just take anybody to be a mail carrier, but he took priests who need to be holy, just as he is holy, to be his messengers. And this really relates to our whole being, all our thoughts. And what is in his mouth? It's the law of truth. And injustice was not found on his lips. This has a lot to do with the lips. What is on our lips? People should seek the law from my mouth. Few people know God's word today. There are very few people who still read in the Bible today. But people should be able to seek the law from our mouth. Especially in these dark days. We need to be those who know the word, who know the law. It says the law of truth, or it's words that are sure, that are straight. We can read verses about the first messenger, namely John the Baptist. He announced the coming of the Lord, and we're doing the same thing. Luke 1:15. Luke 1:15-17. Luke 1:15-17. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Yeah, for this, the Lord needs messengers also in Charente, in Switzerland, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And at the beginning it says, he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. What happens when you drink too much wine? How do you speak? A lot of nonsense comes out of your mouth. And at some point in time, you can't even speak anymore. Here, it's not talking about the physical wine. But there are a lot of things that can make us drunk. This age, this world, the development of this world, the development of technology can make you drunk. And even normal things. Now we're buying a lot of furniture and things for our apartment. And these are all things that you need. You need a closet for your clothes. But it can make you drunk. That the second coming of the Lord seems to be so far away. Or the things at work can occupy you so much that you're so much in these things. And I realize that when I now should speak about the second coming of the Lord, it's difficult because I'm so occupied by the things of the world, because I'm so drunk by the goals at work. A messenger shall drink neither wine nor drink, strong drink. Why? Because he has to speak the truth and cannot be influenced by worries, plans, or what will happen in the future. But we have to be awake, sober. We're living in a time where people are so drunk, drunk from news, from the developments in the world. So the Lord needs sober messengers. And it's not just about not drinking this, but we have to be filled with something else. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Yeah, we're standing with the Spirit of the Lord. What is the Spirit? What kind of Spirit is this? What does Timothy say? It's a spirit of fear? Is it a spirit of cowardice? No. It's a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we're standing in this spirit. This spirit has been given to us. The spirit is not just there so that I can get through my daily life, but it's so that I can be a messenger of the Lord in these days. Why? Because as messengers of the Lord, you're rarely standing with the majority. Actually, never. And it's not comfortable for the soul. No one likes to be an outsider or to represent a point of view that is not so well accepted. But for this, the Lord has given us His Spirit. It is a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. I need this power to stand against the zeitgeist, the spirit of this age. And I realize sometimes it works for a moment, but what about over a longer period of time? The Lord is coming very quickly. And we see that things are developing very quickly. But the Lord tells us we need endurance. Especially when it's not so easy, when it's uncomfortable. Maybe we stand for a while, but then we look for an escape. But in Colossians, the Lord says that He strengthens us to endure, to be long-suffering with joy. For this, we need the spirit of power. What was the spirit and power of Elijah? Elijah was living at a time where the people turned away from the Lord and were serving idols, and he was very alone. But the Lord took care of him physically, especially in times of drought, through his word, and he gave him everything he needed at the right time. It's the same thing with us. He sends us as priests, as messengers. But that doesn't mean to go to a training camp for 3 years or to be sent somewhere, physically speaking, per se. But through the priestly service, we learn how to serve Him as messengers. We learn to listen to the Lord in the situation that the Lord puts us in. And this is wonderful. The Lord doesn't give us a textbook or 3 years of training before we can begin. But in the moment where you're standing before your colleague and you realize now is the opportunity, yeah, in that moment, the Spirit of the Lord is there. If you drink from this water that I give you, it will become a spring of living water. And it's truly the case. We don't know where the Lord will put us, but we have to be bold and courageous wherever we are. And the Lord will give you the words. Yeah, in that moment, you can say, Lord, now I need this spirit. I had a little experience at work. There's an intranet where you have a profile. Telephone number, email address, and then you can write a sentence also about yourself. And then I wrote a verse from Proverbs there. And then a month ago, someone complained that I had put the verse there because that has nothing to do with work. Yeah, he wrote the verse, hard work leads to profit, but empty speaking leads to poverty, and that the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think this caused a little bit of fear to arise in somebody. And my boss wanted to get rid of this issue and didn't want any problems. And at the beginning, I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. But then the Lord spoke to me inwardly and said, no, I have to take a stand for this. I can't just sweep it under the rug. And then I spoke to my department lead later. And I thank the Lord. It was such a good opportunity to speak to him about this matter. And it's amazing how the Lord gives us boldness and directs the conversation. It happened in a way that I hadn't even expected. It wasn't a long conversation, but still. When the Lord puts us somewhere, in a situation, yeah, we can trust in him that he will supply us, and that he will also give us the boldness and the courage to speak to people that we would normally be afraid to speak for. Praise the Lord for the spirit and power of Elijah. Yeah, let us gather many experiences in this aspect. And what does a messenger do? Yeah, it says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Verse 16. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. In Malachi, it also says he will turn many away from iniquity. This is such a central point. The Lord gives us this extension of time so that all would come to repentance. And what did John the Baptist say? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is a sentence that applies to everybody, regardless whether he's a believer or not, far from God, perhaps. But he wants many to turn from iniquity because he's coming. And as messengers or forerunners, it's not about speaking and saying, oh, you all must repent and to speak from above or speak down to people. What does this turning mean? We all know the Feast of Reconciliation, where the Lord appointed this day for the whole people to humble themselves. And the priests went in and was supposed to work atonement or bring about atonement for the people. And how was the priest able to go in? First, the priest had to bring a huge bull as a sin offering. He couldn't just walk in to the temple or to the tabernacle. Just one time a year, the high priest was able to enter in. And he first needed a huge bull as a sin offering for him and his house. And only after he brought about atonement for himself and his own people was he able to confess the sins of the people. And then he was able to bring atonement for the whole people. And this should be our attitude when we are messengers for the people in this world. It has to be so much in our awareness that we need the Lord as our sin offering and to stand against all sin and all death, as we heard this morning. And if we speak in such a way with the people, turn back to the Lord. We don't have that much time left. This is a much different way, totally different way to speak to people. And the priest even had to confess the sins of the people. And this shows what a heart the priest had to have. And exactly this type of heart we need as messengers to soon be, it's not about being self-righteous and judging other people, but it's having a heart for them and to bring them to turn back to the Lord. Lord Jesus. Yeah, to make a people ready for the Lord. And I want to read a verse from Colossians. Colossians 1:28. Christ in you, the hope of glory, him we preach, warning every man. Every man needs warning. And teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Wow. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Amen. This is a messenger. Amen. To warn every man and teach to teach every man in all wisdom. And it is good to exercise this. We don't know what the condition is of the person is whom we may meet. There's so many different types of backgrounds. Every person is somewhere else in his life. But we should warn every man and teach every man in all wisdom. The Lord knows what this person needs. And he needs messengers whom he can send. Yeah, to say, this man needs warning. This one needs encouragement. It's not just the people around us, but also the priests that are around us to have such a heart. Lord, make us all ready. That's why the messengers are there, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's the goal. That's the goal for why we're here. He wants to have messengers everywhere to really reconcile people with God, to help people turn back to God. Praise the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. So turning is not just a matter of redemption, that you believe and no longer will have to go to hell, but it's about turning the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And we need to have such a view. We are your messengers. Amen. As messengers, you are very rarely have an easy time, but the Lord is with us. But 1 Thessalonians 2 says, well, we see here how Paul really served God as a messenger of the Lord. This is really, an example for us. Yeah, if we're living in such an age, he has to help us to also, he has to equip us. And in 1 Thessalonians 2, starting from verse 3, it says, for our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. Yeah, this is a good messenger. Amen. We're not speaking to please men, but God who tests our hearts. often when it gets a little critical and someone is having a difficult time with what we're saying, we have the tendency to adjust our speaking, to leave things out, because we don't want to just hit them over the head with something. But it's not so much about our words, but in our speaking, we should be straight. But the person knows and senses what kind of heart and attitude we have when we speak. So as a messenger, I speak to please man, what's the result? I don't please the Lord anymore. The priests in Malachi were partial. They spoke and did what pleased the people. And as a result, God gave them up. He even sent the curse upon them. But if we stand straight for the Lord, and don't speak to please man, but to please him, then we can count on him to stand on our side. And here it says we did not, either at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. Amen. This is great. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. This is often why we are fearful. Because we seek glory, recognition from man. The Lord is really training us as priests that we would learn to please him and to speak in such a way. And in verse 8, he spoke very straightly to not please man, but he says here, he was like a nursing mother. It was full of as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you. In love, he told the people to turn back to God. And then the working or the effect is from God. And he labored and toiled. And then in verse 10, it says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. That's how he lived. And still, he was like a father who exhorted and comforted his children. What was the result of this type of speaking? Verse 13 says that they received the word of God, that it was not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. It's not just about having the right message, but the messenger was holy, and the messenger had such a heart for the people. Let us really learn to be such priests, such messengers. And the Lord said that the priests are these messengers. How can I learn to have such a heart? How can I learn to speak the word in a straight way, to not please man? We really need the Lord as our burnt offering, as meal offering. Amen. That I am ready to be ground to find flour. Without the Lord as a meal offering, I think we would all just already run away. But to stand for the Lord, to bear things also when someone maybe is rebellious or has a hard heart to take the Lord as the meal offering. And we also need the endurance of the Lord. James 5, 10 and 11. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. All those who spoke in the name of the Lord had to suffer. So I hope all of you will still be here tonight after hearing this word. The Lord calls us as his messengers. Amen. In suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. Amen. We also have to see this, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Yeah, amen. We're looking at his coming where he will also bring his reward with him. So we really need him to stand in these days. Stephen said that all they persecuted and killed all the prophets who proclaimed the word of the Lord. So it shouldn't surprise us when we speak about the Lord's coming that people will resist the word, that maybe we stand alone there. You have to remember that we're not alone. First of all, the Lord is for us. And second of all, we have a cloud of witnesses. And there is a remnant who lets themselves be warned. I have often told the Lord, if you have extended time now, then people have to turn. There have to be people who repent. If the Lord just extends the time for us and no one turns to the Lord, then what did it profit him or us? That the fact that he has extended the time shows that there are people who want to repent, who are prepared to repent. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord find such messengers in all of us that many would come to repentance, so that when he comes, he will find a people made ready for him, prepared for him. Amen. Amen. I just want to confirm the word. I don't want to say many new things, just want to confirm the word. Praise the Lord for his speaking. It's so good that at this weekend that we're not here to just be at the conference. We're here to be equipped as messengers. This is my consciousness this week. Yeah, I'm taking this time as a time of training and equipping, because it is so important to be his messengers in this important time, in this in these last days. And we're hearing this weeds not just for us, not what can I take and how can I profit from this. It's so good if we have this attitude. And I think it's good to see how much God longs for these messengers. God really needs messengers in these last days. It's not that we see this and say, oh, it's nice to be messengers and we want to be these messengers, but God seeks these messengers and he needs them. Because at the first coming of the Lord, he had John the Baptist. But now, at the second coming of the Lord, he needs a messenger as well. But it's not just one man. It's many together. It's Zion. It's a holy priesthood. It's good to see this in Malachi. It's not that they're that messengers are one group of people and priests are another group of people. But in Malachi 2:7, we see that the priest is a messenger. And the Lord has spoken us for the last few years concerning the priesthood. And as he continues to train us, he shows us that we also have a ministry as messengers when we are priests. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 2 talks about the sins of Jerusalem and shows how horrible the condition of the people was at that time. And the condition of this world is fallen and corrupt. But the condition of the people of God is really not good. If you read this later, there's a lot of relation to today's times that shows that the whole scripture is really current and up to date. And a lot of what the prophets said before is still so up to date today. And in verse 30 in Ezekiel 22, this shows the heart of our God. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. On behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. That I should not destroy it. Sounds like the last verse in Malachi, that he sends a messenger. Why? So that he wouldn't have to send the curse. And here in Ezekiel, the Lord already was looking for a man. He didn't want to destroy the land. But he found no one to stand in the gap before him on behalf of the land. And then verse 31 says, therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. And I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. It's astonishing. The same God who is full of indignation and wrath is also the same one who seeks a man to actually hinder this, to actually make atonement, to intercede for the people. So God, on the one hand, he is truly righteous. He's full of holiness. And all that unrighteousness that exists among his people, he can't just ignore. Because yesterday we heard that the time that is coming is called the great day of God's wrath. And all of God's wrath, which has been gathered up all these last years, will be poured out. But at the same time, God is full of love, full of mercy. And he is seeking people who intercede now for all of mankind and also for the people of God. On the one hand, he has to judge, and he will judge, and his judgment will be severe. But he also wants many to be turned away from iniquity. And as we've heard, the Lord has extended the time now. And that's why, as it says in verse 30, it says that he seeks someone who would intercede. He seeks a man. Also, today, the eyes of the Lord are here. And he's looking among us, and not just for one man. Today, it's not enough for him to just find one person among us today. That would be a pity. No, he wants many messengers. God needs many messengers today. We all meet so many people. And if he only had one person, it would be very limited as to what he would be able to accomplish. But he wants to gain people wherever we are in our daily life. And then through us, God can really bring his message to the people. So let us tell him, Lord, find such people among us. When the Lord seeks, let us say, amen, Lord, here I am. I'm ready. We're not better. We're not farther than people in any type of form. But it's good when we are really humble before the Lord and before others, And let us tell the Lord, here we are. Make us your messengers so that when you come very soon, not all would have to be destroyed, but that many would be brought to turn back from their iniquity. And I just want to confirm this. The goal of the messenger is life, peace, and turning people away from iniquity. We see this in Malachi 2 and 3. He turns many away from iniquity. He turns the hearts of the people to their God and Father. He makes atonement for the people of God and intercedes for them. And the result is peace. Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Amen. Amen. Who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. This verse is so encouraging and encourages us to be messengers of the Lord. Yeah, we are really messengers who bring glad tidings of good things to people. This really spoke to me. Nowadays, so many horrible things happening in the world. And sometimes it can really, bring us down. But we are those who bring glad tidings of good things. Let us really lay hold of his joy. Yeah, of him who brings good news. You can look for good news in vain. It's not very popular to bring good news nowadays. There's so much bad news today, every day. If you look at the newspaper, there's only bad news, scandals. And, you know, I don't think we have to say much to that. But, you know, we can bring good news. And this is so wonderful. We can bring good news to people. There are so many bad things happening in the world today, but there is good news. And listen to this. Amen. He who proclaims peace. Of course, we proclaim the judgment that is to come. But the call is to turn back to God, make peace with God. God wants to make peace with you through Jesus Christ. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5, let yourselves be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And for this, the Lord really has to give us a heart. It's not to really overwhelm people with the truth or to make them scared. Our goal is to bring them peace, that they would be reconciled with their God. This relates to the unbelievers as well as to the believers. The believers also, including us, we need to be much more reconciled with God. That's why I really thank the Lord. And the Lord says, how lovely. It's lovely. How beautiful. It would be so wonderful and so beautiful if we are all messengers who have such a vision and who proclaim this message with joy. Who bring glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, there's also a message for Zion, your God reigns. We have to speak to one another this word. Often there are things that happen during, in our times where we think, oh no, but we need to learn to speak to one another, your God reigns, regardless of what is happening. God is seated on the throne. Verse 8, your watchmen, shall lift up their voices. It's good to have voices of watchmen. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. We have such a double privilege to be messengers of the Lord. And we can also experience that the Lord would then take us with him when he comes. This is such a chance, such a privilege to be messengers of the Lord. This is a wonderful privilege, and God seeks messengers. And let us give ourselves for this. And ask the Lord for wisdom to say, Lord, how can we bring this messenger, this message to the people in the best way so that as many as possible would turn back to God? Mm-hmm. Messengers bring peace. Here it talks in Ephesians 6 that our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's so good if we put on these shoes every morning, spiritually speaking. If we put our physical shoes on, we should say, Lord, I also put on these shoes. I'm ready for the gospel of peace. Every day we go somewhere, right? And it's good if we have this awareness, this consciousness. Lord, I'm prepared. Whomever I meet now, whatever you have prepared for me, I want to proclaim the gospel of peace. Give me an open door and give me the right word. In Matthew 5:9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Yeah, the Lord is rejoices when there are peacemakers. There's so much arguments, so much fighting even among the believers. But the Lord brings peace. He speaks the truth. He speaks short and to the point. Also in Luke 1, I just want to read verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. It's true. So many people sit in darkness nowadays, believers as well as unbelievers, and the Lord wants to appear to them to guide our feet into the way of peace. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants to guide more feet onto the way of peace. May we really make much peace and atonement in these times. Let us use the time that we still have. We don't know how much time we still have. We don't know how long we'll still live. This is also in his hands. But let us use the remaining time to be faithful messengers of the Lord. Yeah, and to let the Lord give us such a heart. And we realize we're not like this and we don't have this, but it's good when we realize this, because we can ask him, Lord, give me such a heart. Give me such a humble heart. I don't want to speak down to people as someone who thinks he's better. But let us really be humble. Because the messenger works, the message is much more effective when it comes from someone who is humble. When it comes, yeah, then it really opens up the hearts and people can really accept the word. And if he could give Paul, who before was such a persecutor, he can also give us a soft heart, a humble heart, full of love and mercy to be such messengers. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Spirit makes us to such messengers. As it says in Luke, it says that he will drink neither wine nor strong drink. Luke 1:15, he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And when we hear this word concerning being messengers, then we shouldn't think, okay, just sit on the street corner and let's see what happens. And now I'm going to force myself to be a messenger. But it's It's about Elijah, who was filled with the Spirit and power. So this Spirit of power is the one who makes us to these messengers. In verse 17, he will also go before him in the Spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Amen. Because we're living messengers. We're messengers in whose hearts the Lord was already able to write. And in 2 Corinthians 3, we had fellowship where the Lord says, you are an epistle. You are a living epistle, letter written into our hearts. You are an epistle of Christ. We are this letter, this epistle, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh that is of the heart. 2 Corinthians 3:3. It's wonderful what the Lord can write into our hearts. This is what people can read. And this is how we can also bring the message to the people. And this is also confirmed in John 16. That he will lead us into all reality, verse 13 to 15. Here it's emphasized that the Spirit does not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will glorify me. A wonderful messenger. It's wonderful as messengers to stand there to glorify the living God. We're so one with the one who sends us, one with the living God, with the burden of the Lord for the people. And this can only work and through the Spirit. Praise the Lord. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This is such a wonderful ministry.